Our sermon this morning comes from Psalm 18. Please join me there. As some of you are aware, I've been working through the Psalter, going to psalms that are less familiar to us. And there's a section of 18 that I had wanted to get to, but I couldn't force myself to just jump all the way in without starting at the beginning and working through to get up to there for the context of where we'll actually be. This morning, I will be focusing on verses 7 through 16. I'm going to back up to verse 1. So I will read verse 1, including the introduction to these verses. You may recall last week, I preached from the introduction, describing that we are being brought from a place of self-reliance, which is the very picture of sin, to a place of full reliance on Christ. And I supplied and explained last week that those first verses of Psalm 18 describe the picture of full reliance on Christ. Psalm 18, verses 1 through 16. For the choir director, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield in the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me, and the torrents of ungodliness terrified me. The cords of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came into his ears. Then the earth shook and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains were trembling and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up out of his nostrils, and fire from his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it, and he bowed the heavens also and came down with thick darkness under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and flew, and he sped upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his hiding place, his canopy around him, darkness of waters, thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him passed his thick clouds, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice. Hailstones and coals of fire, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and lightning flashes in abundance and routed them. Then the channels of water appeared, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. He sent from on high, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. Pray with me. Our Father, we rejoice in you. We rejoice that you are. We rejoice that you have spoken. We rejoice that you have created all things for your own glory. We rejoice that you have created us, that you knit us together in love in our mother's womb. We rejoice, Father, that you have ordained our days, the length of our days, the boundaries of our habitation, and that you have brought us to this moment to speak to our hearts. Direct us in accordance with truth. Direct us in accordance with true love for you. In accordance with true love for one another. And we pray, Father, that we will be changed forever and ever. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, what Jesus wants is your heart. He wants it. He wants you to love him. To love him with your full being. That is exactly what he wants from you. As I study the human heart, I'm finding that we are like an instrument. Our heart is like a musical instrument that is within us. Think of it like a bell for a moment. And when it's struck, it rings. Does it ring right? Does it ring true? When he strikes you, when he disciplines you, does it ring right? Does it ring true? When there is tension and frustration in your life, does your heart ring right? Does it ring true? Each of us now are in a place, as this word is announced, as the power of his glory is announced to us, if we are thinking rightly, we will be in a place of awe, shock and awe at his power, at his presence, what he has done, the wonders he has done, what he is doing, the refining that he is doing in us, individually, as families, as a church, in the world. He is bringing all things together for the glory of Christ Jesus. And as we look at what he will do, what can our response be? But awe, admiration, love, and worship. If you're bored right now, if you can hear these things and read these things, and your heart isn't struck, and your heart doesn't ring out with admiration, praise, and maybe even fear, is your heart hard? Have you hardened it? Is it dull? Is it numb? Is it the heart that's covered with fat that's described in Scripture that is unfeeling? If that's the case, work hard now. Work hard now to listen. Work hard now and pray. Plead with God to work on your heart, that you will know him, that your heart will ring with love, ring with admiration, ring with praise. Or else, what are we? And what are we doing here? We are not responding to him in accordance with truth, in accordance with reality. We are going to look at God's wrath and God's power and God's judgment now. We are going to look at the mercy that's found only in Christ. So we look at his wrath and his judgment now. Cling tightly to Christ. Cling tightly to his mercy. Cling tightly to the justice that was accomplished at the cross. Look with me at verse 7. Then the earth shook and quaked. There's a level of madness for us in that. You and I have been built from the dust. When I grew up on the farm, I thought my soul was tied to the hills that I played in. I thought I belonged there. I had to live there. I could never go anywhere else. I was tied to the very land that I grew up working. To be in a place where the earth itself has been moved and is changing. The cracker plants have come in, and the hills and the valleys have been brought low, and strange things have been lifted high, and there are giant trails the size of Eastvale going through my woods. Everything is changed. It's quaked. It's moved. The earth shook and quaked. As we look here, this shaking and quaking is for a different reason. And the foundations of the mountains were trembling and were shaken. Why? Because he was angry. We don't like the picture of God who gets angry. The culture doesn't like the picture of God that gets angry. The culture likes the picture of a Santa Claus God. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. And everybody's good and everybody gets a present. That's not the God of the Bible. That's not the God of reality. That is a false God. What is going on here? Well, I'll lay it out for you. Our first step, God is holy. Man is sinful. So the Lord is angry. So earth shakes. People look at the world and they see an earthquake and they say, oh, Mother Nature. Mother Nature. Oh, they've crossed Mother Nature. Mother Nature is angry. They'll look at a wave that comes in and knocks people over and they say, oh, they didn't respect Mother Nature. Mother Nature was unhappy with them. Mother Nature is a idol. Mother Nature is a heathen idol that scoffs at the Lord. Go ahead and memorize that and just throw it out there whenever someone references Mother Nature. Mother Nature is a heathen idol that scoffs at the one true God. This is the reality. What is going on when Earth shakes? Is it because Mother Nature is unhappy? No, Earth shakes because God is holy. Man is unfaithful, so God is angry, so the earth shakes. This is the teaching of Scripture. Now, the earth is a sad and broken place now. That's true. That's real. You and I can walk up and down the river and we can see pollution and misery and it's disgusting. If you and I walked up through the valley there, you would be disgusted by the washing machines and the tires and just the abundance of rubbish that is built up there. We can say the earth is polluted. It's true. But Numbers 35, 33, and Psalm 106, 38 describes what pollutes the earth is man's sin. This is the pollution we are to be concerned with. Man's sin. Man's sin pollutes the earth. The earth stinks. It's true. It stinks as a stinking person has a stinking bedroom. The problem with earth is indeed man, but not just man, it's man's sin. It's our disobedience against God. It is our corruption, it is our shedding of blood that pollutes the earth. And when there is wrath, and when there is judgment, when there is pain, when there is misery, it's because of sin. Because of the original sin of Adam, and the corruption of mankind, or because of the greed of man now and the selfishness of man now. The earth shakes. The earth shakes. And verse 7 tells us it's because he was angry. We look and how is it shaking? Why is it shaking? Our second step is what holds the universe together will take it apart. This is the reality. Jesus holds the world together. Jesus is going to take the world apart. This place is a place that we can enjoy. We can enjoy creation. We can tell creation to praise him, and it will. We rejoice in the glory of sunrises, sunsets. We rejoice in the glory of mountains. But all of this glory is not the sunrise. It is not the sunset. It is not the mountains. It is he who has made it. We were made to glorify him and enjoy him. Creation was also made to glorify him. We fall sadly short if we rejoice in a sunrise or a sunset and don't rejoice in Christ. If we rejoice in a mountain, if we rejoice in song, if we rejoice in anything good in the world and fail to recall all good and perfect gifts have come down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. We're idol factories. Quick to love anything rather than Christ. Verses 7 and 8, the earth shook and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains were trembling and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up out of his nostrils, and fire from his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. What comes from the mouth of God? God spoke, and it was. He spoke and he created. Hebrews 1:3 tells us that Jesus upholds all things by the word of his power. And now look, he speaks and the earth shakes. He speaks and fire comes forth in judgment. David is in this position. David is the psalmist that Jesus carried along by his spirit to look and to see these things. David stands as a prophet, having eternal reality unveiled before his eyes. Could you imagine being in the position of David now, standing and looking and seeing mountains shaking and trembling, a black cloud as big as the sky coming down, brilliant shooting out from it, men, women, children being terrified and fleeing from the presence, lightning and fire kindled. It is the voice of Christ. It is the voice of Christ that shakes the mountains. It is the voice of Christ and the word of Christ, the scripture that will judge mankind. The word goes forth as a double-edged sword from Christ's mouth. What holds the universe together is going to take it apart again. As David's eyes were unveiled, for your heart is unveiled. Our third step, sin stokes fiery wrath. Verse 8, smoke went out of his nostrils and fire from his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. We look here, consider your sin as you choose it. Consider it. As I'm reading through the Proverbs, it says, consider carefully everything that is laid before you. What is it if there's an opportunity for sin and you don't even think about it? You just do it. Feet that run quickly to sin. That's an abomination. That's a terrible place to be. Terrible place to be. The scripture describes your sin has made a separation between you and God in Isaiah 59:2. I say these clouds that are in place, this heat that is in place, it's this friction between holiness and sin. Sin is more than being impolite. Sin is more than a bad idea. Sin is death. The law is the way of life. Christ has spoken life to you. Life to you. And sin is offered to you. And then what? Life is offered to you. And we say no every time we sin. Is it feet that are running quickly to sin without even thinking? David at one point describes himself as behaving like an unreasoning animal. We had this dog that was gross and disgusting, and it actually chased immorality. A puppy wasn't safe around this dog. And I remember asking my dad at one point, what's wrong with Tippy? What is wrong with this animal? He was disgusting and it was horrific. He would run to things that were horrible and disgusting, like the dog that returns to his vomit. He would run to these things, an unreasoning animal. Can we see ourselves that way? Can you see your sin that way? Can you hate your sin that way? Can you see it as abominable and disgusting? More than being disgusting, as if it were just a matter of being impolite, it stokes fiery wrath. Have you ever blown on a fire to make it hotter? Campfires, I could get down and I would know when I could do it. And I blow low and slow and hard and it would glow red, 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 red. And flames would burst forth and the things would light. Sin stokes his wrath. Think that. Believe that. Consider carefully everything that's laid before you. Sin is not to be played with. It is not to be trifled with. In Proverbs 8:36, speaking of wisdom, and Christ is wisdom, following Christ is wisdom, makes a statement, all those who hate me love death. Think that way. When your sin is laid before you, consider it carefully, everything that is laid before you. Don't run to it like an unreasoning animal. Consider it carefully and remember that sin stokes God's wrath. Our fourth step, God is near. Verse 9, he bowed the heavens also and he came down. In Acts 17:26-27, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us, he is near. He is near. My great aunt Wilda, one of the godliest people I knew, she said these words and they ring in my ears often. God is closer than your very breath, Micah. He is near. Deuteronomy 4:7, for what great nation is there that God, that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God? This is the situation in which we live. He is near. He is with us. We see that he comes back with a powerful presence. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. Christ is near, and we are to be watching for his coming, believing, knowing he could come any moment. Christ is near. Our next step, number 5, God will move heaven and earth in judgment. Verses 11 through 15. He made darkness his hiding place, his canopy around him. Darkness of waters, thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him passed his thick clouds, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered them. The lightning flashes in abundance and routed them. Then the channels of water appeared, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. God will move heaven and earth in judgment. A heart that's operating from the position of faith will look at the world around them with the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, remembering that what is seen was made by what is unseen. What is here is all upheld by the word of Christ, and that God's grace, his mercy, his patience is why Adam and Eve weren't snuffed out the moment they sinned. It's why the line of Seth continued. It's why the line of Abraham continued. And Isaac and Jacob and David to Christ. It's how you were ingrafted as the children of Japheth into the tent of Shem. It's why you are still alive. It is his patience. It is his grace. It is his mercy. In his grace, his patience is meant to do what for you? Bring you to repentance. Solomon at one point said, almost I was in utter ruin in the midst of the assembly. Almost. We know Solomon's tale. He turned to the forbidden women, to forbidden gods. And it is a sad tale. Being brought to utter ruin in the midst of the assembly, if you were disciplined here, if you were admonished in private, if you were rebuked in private, if you were suspended from the Lord's Supper and then publicly, brought to excommunication, and a letter of excommunication had to be read about you here, where we state, outside of the visible church, there's no ordinary means of salvation. What a terrible situation for you. How sad. How grievous for you and for the church. How embarrassing for you, and if it were me, for my family, my children, my children's children. How much more on the last great day? How much more the embarrassment, but not just the embarrassment, the wrath. The wrath. God moves heaven and earth in judgment. It will be. Now, I am working right now with the Word of God to work your heart. To get us to that place where we're thinking rightly about Him. To that place when your heart is struck, that it rings more true. Thinking rightly about Him, what He has done, what He is doing, what He will do, that we will be in the place to glorify and enjoy Him. Our sixth step, fear God and cling to His merciful presence. Verse 10, He rode upon a cherub and flew, and He sped upon the wings of the wind. Verse 13, the Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered His voice, hailstones and coals of fire. I say, as we look here at what is taking place, I wrestled with God riding on a cherub. A cherub, it's not the Roman Catholic version that it's the naked fat baby with wings flapping its way along, but it's this terrifying creature with four faces and multiple wings. It represents the lion, the king of the jungle, the eagle's face, the king of the air, the ox, the king of the field, and mankind, king over those and king over creation. I say this cherub that is present and is under the Lord here, it takes me to the mercy seat in the tabernacle. The mercy seat, the cherub were there, their wings stretched out, they're touching one another, the sacrifice was offered there, mercy. The mercy seat. The clouds that are present here, that are taking place, we see that Christ is calling out, He is proclaiming. You and I, we trust in His word. We trust and we run to Him. We run to Him when He flares. We run to Him and we trust Him. We run to His word. When we are disciplined, we run to Him and not from Him. It is the place to love Christ. It is the place to trust in Christ. It is the place where we are disciplined. We don't hate Him. But we know that He disciplines us for His good. When He's terrifying, we run to Him still. In Matthew 24, 35, Jesus makes the statement, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. What is this hope that we derive from the word? What is the comfort that we derive from the word that we can run to it? Romans 10, 17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Christ speaks. And if heaven and earth are passing away, we cling to His word and we cling to His promise. It is a certainty that we will run to His word or we will be cut down by it. We will trust and believe or we will be cut down. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. Revelation 19, 15 and 16, for from His mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it He may strike down the nations, and He will rule them with a rod of iron, and He treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on His robe and on His thigh He has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And what do we see in verse 16 of our text? Look with me there. He sent from on high, He took me, He drew me out of many waters. Is this you? Is this where you are? Have you come to the place that we sing together, Psalm 18a? The place where we are in total reliance. My Lord, my rock, my shield, my stronghold, the horn of my salvation. the place where we know there is no goodness within us apart from him, that he accomplishes salvation, the place where we rely on his mercy, the mercy seat, the blood poured out on our behalf, the blood of Christ that accomplished justice on our behalf. If that is you, if you have faith, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, based on the hearing of Christ, based on the hearing of his word, based on who he really is, prophet, priest, king, who comes in ultimate justice. And only then can we believe in ultimate mercy. Only then can we expect, in accordance with verse 16, that he sent from on high. He sent from on high. He calls. And all those who call upon him will come. He calls. And those who come, those he draws, he will by no means cast off. What a glorious salvation in the light of this perfect wrath. A glorious salvation in the light of a holy, holy, holy God. I have applied fire this morning. I have applied fire to your hearts. I have worked. I have tried. I have proclaimed Jesus Christ, his justice. I have proclaimed God's power. What does your heart say? How does your heart ring now? Does it ring glory? Glory to God and his power. Glory to God and his judgment. Glory to God and his justice. And glory to God and my salvation. Check your heart. Check your heart. It is your heart that he will judge. This is your heart he examines. It is your heart that he wants. All of it. All of it. Pray with me. Our God, you have spoken powerful words to us. You have shown yourself clearly to us. You show us your judgment, and you show us your grace. God, bless this congregation. Bless us as we are assembled together in the name of your Son. Discipline our hearts. Tune our hearts, that we will ring true for you. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.